Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, December 18th. We have great conversations ahead of us, celebrating 90 years of telling the good news of Jesus Christ here on Worldwide KFUO. And we have some guests to help us celebrate that, those who have been partners with us for much of that time. And so we're going to talk with some of our friends from LCEF, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, and Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, Christ Memorial. We're going to talk about the blessings that they've enjoyed through those years being partners with us. Speaking of partners, I want to say thanks to Judy in Pena, Illinois, and Lauren in El Reno, Oklahoma, and Jonathan in Cary, Illinois, John and Chris in Punta Gorda, Florida, and Dennis and Bonnie in Godfrey, Illinois, Donna in St. Louis, Zion Lutheran Ladies Aid in Hillsboro, Missouri, and Phoebe and Vernon in St. Charles, Missouri. Thanks for partnering with us and helping us tell the good news of Jesus Christ. It is great to get to partner with you in that opportunity and what we are given to do as God so graciously gives. Joining me in studio this morning, Rich Robertson, president and CEO of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Rich, thanks so much for coming in and spending some time with us to be our guest.
Well, thank you, Andy, and especially we thank you for the opportunity that KFUO has given us over the past couple of years as we're sponsors, and you've given us the opportunity to share our message and our story. So truly, we're most appreciative of all of you and the work that you all do here.
It is a very mutually beneficial friendship and partnership that we have. Tell us about this LCEF partnership with KFUO that has grown over time.
You bet. Well, you know, we discovered about 2 to 3 years ago that this really was available to us. And during the course of the last several years, we've had this chance to really talk to our members through KFUO and also perhaps those that are not members of LCEF, to have them learn about what it is that we do and the ministries that we support and how we can collectively share in the glory of God through the work that's done through LCEF and KFUO. So it's been absolutely terrific. And especially, you know, when we look back and we see 90 years of KFUO's work, you know, that goes back to, you know, I can do the math, 1924. And as you look at that, that was really the very beginning of radio. Guglielmo Marconi, who is the inventor of radio, actually discovered it in the late 1800s. I think it was 1897. And here we are just 20 years later that you all came online and began what you started and have continued it since. So just amazing the innovation that you all were part of back then and how it's been able to continue for so many years.
Looking at through the history exhibit here with our anniversary celebration, you can see, well, and some of it's on display all the time here at Worldwide KFUO, right in the case right outside the studio. You can see some of the technology from that time, and those are some of the things that I think of right away. You know, Marconi comes to mind as soon as I see some of the technology out there, and what it looked like, the tubes that were, right, you know, as big as my arm in the case out there, and now thinking how that technology has changed, and the function of equipment like that now can occur in something as big as the size of my, you know, the fingernail on my pinky. It's amazing how that technology has changed and what does it mean to be innovative from that time to now.
And we mirror very much the same kind of situation, I want you to know, because Church Extension Fund originated back in 1902. It's when the first members of a congregation decided to share some of their funds that they had available to them with a sister church that they wanted to try to build. And offered those resources. And that's really what Church Extension is all about. It's taking from those that want to share in ministry and moving it to other opportunities to, again, perpetuate further ministries of our church. And that started in 1902 and is very vibrant in 2014, I want you to know.
Partnerships. That's what I hear. It's all about partnerships.
The actual Church Extension Fund, as we know it today, the name Lutheran Church Extension Fund, we were incorporated in 1978, and that is when actually the organization that you know today began and has built itself to a $1.8 billion organization, supporting only the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and its all of its ministries, its congregations, its districts, and those that are associated associated with us with RSOs as well.
So technically starting in the late 70s, but having roots as back early, you said in the 20s.
1902.
Very good. So let's talk about some things that have been going on, some of the things that, have happened in the last year with LCEF. Not too long ago, the annual Fall Leadership Conference. Tell us about that.
Well, every year we have a Fall Leadership Conference that that we actually are required to have based on our bylaws. It's essentially, it's an in-person annual meeting of voting delegates from the 28 member districts that are participants in LCEF. And we also have many ministry leaders and from very diverse areas of our church body all coming together in one location at one time. But the business meeting is what was the reason for the gathering once a year on behalf of LCEF. And that, over the years, has evolved to what we have what we call today a Fall Leadership Conference. And what we're doing is we showcase ideas in ministry. You know, just as KFUO constantly seeks to fulfill its mission through innovation, LCEF wants to be a conduit as well in sharing ideas. And that's really the place that we do that at. Mm-hmm. And we bring in some very interesting speakers. And again, we don't expect everyone to walk away nodding all collectively the same way. But what it does, it sparks, if you would, discussions and ideas that hopefully will be beneficial for our church body as we get together in our own congregations and in our own districts.
Now, I'm sure you mentioned this, but my mind was swirling as you were sharing this. Who all shows up for this leadership conference, the annual Fall Leadership Conference?
Well, we have 150 members of LCEF that mm-hmm. are part of the voting delegates of LCEF, and they are the core of the reason for why we get together in this conference. And then beyond that, we have leaders of congregations mm-hmm. that join us, many of which are members of LCEF, but we also encourage that some of the members also are not members of LCEF, and they can learn about what we do and take that back to their congregation. So we're really talking about leadership within our church body. Not only leaders of our church, but leaders throughout our church mm-hmm. That come to this conference. In fact, we have a total of this year close to 650 individuals that were part of our Fall Leadership Conference. So it's quite an event. It takes place from a Friday afternoon through a Sunday at noon. And it's pretty action-packed, I want you to know. It's very, very active and mm-hmm. very interactive as well.
I can tell when it's going on because when I try calling some of my regular guests and none of them are answering, it's because they're all at your conference.
Another way to tell is check my stress level out for that week and you'll know exactly when it is too.
Well, okay, on the opposite of stress, though, what do you like about the conference? What's the highlight of the annual conference for you?
Well, I'll tell you what kind of stood out this year. We start the conference off on a Friday afternoon having a servant event. And this year's event, by the way, was surrounding a theme that we had called, the theme was Reflect His Glory. It was based on 2 Corinthians 3:18. And what we did this year in terms of a servant event is that we had Operation Christmas Child. And the goal was to fill 500 boxes with personal care items, school supplies, toys, and handwritten prayers for children in need. And it was just a terrific start. We had so many of our members of the conference joining in. In fact, what we thought was going to take 3 to 4 hours took about an hour and a half because we just had so many active participants being part of that. So that clearly started off the weekend, just everybody in the same place in terms of what we were doing. But then the other highlights are the people that come that speak to us. This year we had in particular one gentleman. His name was actually he was captain in the Air Force, and his name is Captain Charlie Plum. And the good captain in the Navy. He was a POW during the Vietnam War. And he shared his story of how he was in the POW camps in Vietnam for over 7 years. And he was invited to be the chaplain at this facility. And he just shared some incredible stories that really brought to life our theme of Reflect His Glory. And by the way, if you have an interest in seeing it, if you just go to our website, we have that all of it on the website of all of the different individuals that spoke at the conference. And he is just a wonderful message. Just go to lcef.org, and you can see all that we had in terms of speakers.
Oh, very good. It sounds like the conference was, in spite of being a very busy time for you, it sounds like there were some great things that came out of it and do annually.
Absolutely. And really, we're encouraged that we're able to do this year in and year out. And the messages that we get afterwards are extremely rewarding. So we know that we accomplish what we're looking to accomplish at this gathering. Yes, the business component of LCF, which we have to have. But in addition, we carry in also opportunities of sharing that is meaningful for our congregations.
It sounds like some positive networking happens there as well. Some connections and relationships that are built and nurtured.
Another aspect that we could spend a whole bunch of time about as well, I want you to know.
Well, let's talk about some folks that don't know about LCEF. How is LCEF making connections or reaching people that aren't already connected with LCEF? How are you reaching new people that aren't involved with the annual conference already?
Well, you know, when people think about LCEF, the first thing that comes to mind is what has been our traditional area of resources, and that's providing loans to congregations. In fact, of our loan portfolio, about 75% of our loans are to our congregations throughout the country. So that's very much the core of what we do. However, there's so many other aspects of LCEF. You know, when you look at our ministry support group that we have that do things in terms of pastor coaching, or we're working with congregations to envision path to better understand really the path that they're on and whether or not they need to make adjustments in where they are and what they seek to do within their communities. And then there's just so many other aspects, if you would, too, of financial support kind of things that that we offer. For example, we're looking today at lending to our schools to help them to improve some of the areas that they haven't been able to invest in recent years, and offering some very attractive loan products. For example, for the first 12 months, zero interest is what we're looking at, so that they can perhaps look at purchasing iPads or doing some work, if you would, on their facilities that they haven't been able to do, so that they remain relevant in their communities. So there's a whole host of things. So our members are clearly aware of these kind of things, but we're looking to attract new members. Why? Because we want to perpetuate this incredible story that we've been able to create since 1902. And to do that, we're offering some products, and if you go to our website, you'll see those that encourage people to invest in LCEF with a nice dividend for themselves, with interest rates that they'll, I think, find well beyond what you're going to find in the local marketplace. And we do that not to reward them for what they're sharing with us, even though that's part of it, but more importantly is to have them better connected with us so that we can then share the message of LCEF and they can kind of see the incredible work that we do. So there's some products. You're going to hear one called Connect Plus that is just what it says. We're trying to connect with those folks that today don't know anything about us, and we're trying to bring them in so that we can educate them about this incredible work that's done by the folks at LCEF.
You bring up a really good point for the folks who don't know or who aren't a part of LCEF yet. When we start thinking about some of the big things that LCEF does, some of the great things that that come out of the work of LCEF, like you mentioned earlier, the loans so that schools can be relevant to their communities, so they can have the technology to be a great school right in their own neighborhood, and to be the top-notch school, a first-choice school of the neighbors in that community. When we think of the churches that are able to do new construction because of support and loans from LCEF, who are the people behind this? You know, quite often we think, okay, well, they're all the people that are investing in LCEF are all the people with lots and lots of money. But it's everyday people too. It's not all the people that it's everyday people. We're one of those families, right. You know, we're not the wealthy. Our family is not the wealthiest family in the LCMS, but we are very pleased and very proud to be a part, to be investing with LCEF. And that's what I wanted to get at, is who are the people that make up LCEF so that we can do this type of work.
Right. And I was going to say exactly that, Andy, and it's you, it's me, it's 80,000 people that have committed their resources, or part of their resources, to the work of the church through the LCEF. And we see everything. We see people that are just depositing every month $5, $10, if you would, into the steward account, and just allowing that to grow for themselves, as well as allowing those funds to be used. And there are some that clearly have had opportunities that are greater. And they, too, have chosen to take a portion of the gift and put it within LCEF to further ministries around the world, might I add. Because, you know, we talk about congregations and schools, which are very, very important to LCEF. But at the same time, there are ministries all throughout the world that are making incredible impacts. So the one that always comes to mind when I start talking about this is the Concordia International School System that we have, specifically in Shanghai. LCEF was provided resources for the startup of that campus. The loan was several million dollars, but here we were investing in property in China through that ministry of the Concordia International School. Now, today, that school has quadrupled plus in terms of size. They've got over 1,400 students. They've got chapel services going on throughout the week. I've been there. I participated in one.
Wow.
And here I am in China at a chapel service. I'm saying to myself, had it not been for the foresight of the leadership of LCEF at that time to share those resources with this particular group, you know, that would not happen today. And it's just incredible to see how those $5 and $10 have all added together to create those kind of opportunities globally.
It's a win-win situation. It only makes sense. Everybody should be saving in some way, should be saving and making investments somewhere. You need to do that. Why not do it somewhere where your money is going to be used for the sake of the gospel, you know, you can invest your money in other places. And, but if you're investing, we use it, we have several accounts with LCEF and each account for a different purpose, but it just makes sense. If you're going to invest and everybody should be somewhere, do it where it's going to make the most impact. It's going to be used for the sake of the gospel.
That's our story right there. And when you think about it, people should also always be reminded that the use of those funds is strictly for the LCMS related ministries.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It doesn't go outside of that sphere. And when you also think on top of it, you get a dividend, which typically is higher than anything you're going to find in the by secular providers.
Right.
I mean, it's just an added bonus when it's all said and done. So I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, the first thousand or something like that, the interest, it's a good deal.
It is. So,
okay.
So we encourage those that are listening. If you're not a member of LCEF, please go to our website and learn more about us.
I'll get
www.lcef.org.
All right. So anything else about, we talked a little bit about loans. Anything else about loans that you wanted to mention that we didn't get to?
Well, the one that I was mentioning in terms of the schools, it's just so you know what the name of it is called. It's called the Smart Loan, and it's for school associations. That is, schools not associated with a single congregation. And these loans are meant to meet the short-term financial needs of the LCMS elementary, middle, and high school associations and related RSOs. So, you know, a Smart Loan can help finance security upgrades, which, you know, of course, in today's world is a real concern for schools. New technology, safer playground equipment, or even energy efficient upgrades, you know, classroom equipment as well. All these things that potentially the schools are needing to do that they can't find a resource right now. So LCEF is doing it so that they can hopefully grow their enrollment, which will then provide the resources to pay back the loan. So that's the circle that we're looking at when it's all said and done.
Well, the one other thing that we've talked about throughout the year is the credit union. We've talked a little bit about that, and I think maybe last time I might have spoken with Max about it, getting an update from time to time. I think last time we were just kind of waiting. Where, any news?
Well, let me share with you about that, the credit union. To refresh everyone's memory, the credit union is separate of LCEF. Mm-hmm. LCEF will be the sponsoring agency, but that's as far as it goes. It's not reporting to LCEF. It will be a totally separate entity. And the credit union has been established with a charter to provide services to LCMS member congregations, synod, agencies, and oh, by the way, all the individuals beyond that are associated with them. So, for example, people in the pews will have the opportunity of using this credit union that is being created. Now, unlike the LCEF, the credit unions are regulated by a federal agency called the National Credit Union Association, and we've been working since the inception of this idea with this agency to bring it to life. It literally, Andy, has taken us about 2.5 to 3 years from when we started this process to where we are today. We had several members of the NCUA at our offices reviewing all of the plans associated with it and the individuals associated with it and the prospective board of this new credit union about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And there was a whole host of them. It's like all of Washington, D.C. came and visited with us to talk to us about this. The good news is that they were enormously encouraged with where we are and what we're doing. And we believe that within literally the next week or two, that we'll have some news to share as it relates to the status of this credit union.
Well, that would be a nice Christmas present, wouldn't it?
It certainly would be. It certainly would be. So it's moved very far at this point in time, and we're delighted. To give you an idea, I mean, they don't issue charters very easily.
Right, yeah.
And we might be one of the only ones, I want you to know, this year that may have been granted, if that in fact happens in the next couple weeks or so.
How excited! Those, it's exciting.
It's exciting for the LCMS.
Yeah.
When everyone sees what this credit union is going to offer in terms of services and just state-of-the-art things that, quite candidly, most banks and credit unions can't do today because they got legacy type systems. It is truly exciting. And by the way, what the credit union can do also to support various things within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod over time will be of interest too, I want you to know. So just really some great stuff.
Again, comes back to that philosophy. Everybody needs to do banking or investing. Everybody needs those types of services. Do it to where it's going to make a difference for the sake of the gospel.
Exactly right. Exactly well, right. And that's the reason for the credit union and, might I also add, LCEF.
Absolutely. Well, all thanks be to God for both of those. And so grateful for LCEF taking the time and all the energy and work that goes into making that happen.
Well, I can share with you, too, because this is now public knowledge, is that the name of the organization, by the way, is being called, very simply, the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. And that is what you will hear more of about in the not-too-distant future. And, you know, we got very creative, the team that was looking at this in terms of names. And, you know, we had some real winners. And we actually went and canvassed many thousands of people with a what I'll call a name game to kind of see, if you would, the reaction to the various things.
Oh, yeah. I think I was part of one of those surveys.
And we not only wanted their reaction to what we had, but we asked them to fill in the blanks and give us their ideas. And we got over 6,000 ideas, I want you to know, from that those surveys. And there was some common thread. And the common thread was, don't complicate it. You know, there were names.
Say what it is.
Exactly. It's a Lutheran credit union. Just call it that. We have to throw the word federal in because that's a requirement of the National Credit Union Association. Mm-hmm. But other than that, that's what we're really told by everybody. Make it real simple. Don't get real creative on this thing. So that you'll hear more about that as we kind of go forward.
Well, very good. So grateful for all the work. I know that was a lot of effort and a lot of time and that went into that. And as we've been talking about it over the year, anything else? Any other news from LCEF as we wrap up our time together today?
Well, since you brought it up, I'm gonna reiterate the fact that those that are not members of LCEF and want to learn more, we encourage you to go to our website, www.lcef.org. And at the same time, look for this Connect Plus. And I think you'll be extremely delighted to see what you can enjoy from LCEF by becoming a member in terms of the rate of return that you'll get on your funds. But probably more importantly, it's what we do with those funds are incredible.
As a proud parent of a young investor, I can certainly recommend that as well. Like I said, we have several accounts. Go check it out, lcef.org. You can find so much information on there. Connect Plus, a great place to start and find out more about LCEF. Rich Robertson, President and CEO of Lutheran Church Extension Fund, thanks for being my guest, and thank you for the partnership, LCEF and KFUO, in telling the good news of Jesus. Thanks so much for partnering with us and for coming over today to talk about it.
Great to be here. Thanks so much, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with Dr. Andy Bartelt, Professor of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Seminary. So stick around for more Faith and Family coming up right after this break on listener-supported worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A 6-month premature baby in China was unexpectedly born at home. The father thought the child was dead, so he left her and accompanied his wife to the hospital in the ambulance. Once there, doctors encouraged the father to bring the baby in to make sure she was dead. But the woman's mother had already buried the baby under a tree in their yard. The parents rushed back home and dug up the still living, very premature baby. After just 3 days, doctors sent the baby home because the parents ran out of money. But media attention resulted in people sending donations, and the baby was returned to the hospital. So far, this tiny girl is surviving against all odds. I'm looking forward to what God has in mind for this special little one. Please keep her in your prayers.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
This is a newborn radio station, KFUO.
Those were the first words spoken on KFUO. But before those words could even be broadcast, it took a group of volunteers and supporters to cover the cost of constructing our very first radio facility.
On this occasion, we also wish to express our hearty thanks to all Christians who have given or pledged their contributions toward the erection and upkeep of this station.
Since those historic words, KFUO has relied on supporters to bring us through our first 90 years. And KFUO continues to need your support to move forward into our next. Will you prayerfully consider supporting the worldwide outreach of KFUO with a gift today? For a suggested gift of $90 or more, we'll say thank you with a collector's edition 90th anniversary I Lutheran t-shirt. To give your gift, contact Joni or Mary at 314-996-1512. Thank you for your continued support and prayers for worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
In this season of Advent, we Christians recognize our need for a Savior and look with great anticipation to the birth of Jesus Christ. But all around the world, there are millions of people still living in spiritual darkness. You can help introduce them to the light of the Savior by providing catechisms and Bible storybooks translated into the languages of the world. Learn more about this mission at lhfmissions.org.
What does faithful family life look like in a Lutheran worldview? Hi, I'm Eddie Bates, host of Faith and Family. Each day, we discuss different aspects of faithful family life with experts and everyday people. We discuss parenting, aging, work, school, relationships, vocation, and more. Join me weekdays at 10 a.m. for Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin in the sponsor section on our website, kfuo.org. Go to that sponsor section and look for the CUW logo. There you can find more information about Concordia University, Wisconsin. Give them a shout out. Say thanks for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. We are so grateful for their partnership. And speaking of partnerships, that's what we're talking about today on Faith and Family, the partnerships that God has blessed us with over 90 years. And one of those great partnerships is with Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Joining us by phone now, Dr. Andy Bartelt, professor of exegetical theology at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Bartelt.
Good morning, Andy, and to all our KFUO listeners. It's good to be with you.
Well, thank you. And for our listeners listening right now, they might recognize your voice, a familiar voice here on Worldwide KFUO.
A familiar Wisconsin voice, right?
Yeah. If they're listening on Sunday mornings, they might hear the Bible study, as you serve as a host for the Bible study here on Sunday mornings, right?
I do. It's been a tremendous experience, both for, I think, certainly our people at Christ Memorial Lutheran Church here in South St. Louis County, And I trust for many, many listeners out there that are faithful KFUO listeners.
It's always a privilege to get to study God's Word, but to get to study God's Word with a professor of exegetical theology, even better. To get to dig into God's Word with somebody who knows the languages and can help us dig into it, that's great.
So, well, I'd like to think that makes a difference. It's one of the advantages. I have a hunch that a lot of people in our St. Louis area, many of whom are KFUO listeners, kind of appreciate that. I hope that the advantages of having so much of the, what shall we say, sort of central energy of our own church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, right here in town, including Concordia Seminary, offers a lot of opportunities. I know that many of our faculty participate actively in their congregations, first of all, just as members and as fellow Christian brothers and sisters, being part of those communities of faith, confessing our rich biblical theology as Lutherans. But many of them are also active in terms of helping with preaching and teaching and teach Bible classes. I know several colleagues do this on a regular basis or on kind of a as-needed or once-in-a-while basis, and it's a wonderful opportunity for us as those who teach theology to seminarians and even to graduate students and even make our presence known in academic circles, sometimes fairly high-powered academic circles. That we still connect to sort of the real world of real people out there and the everyday lives of God's saints being witnesses to Christ in the everyday world. And we do that through those connections in our local parishes. So teaching Bible class is a really exciting thing for me to do, and I hope it brings some of the insights and expertise that God has provided to those of us who do this sort of professionally, I suppose, to bear on the lives of God's people.
Absolutely, and we're grateful to be so close in proximity to the seminary to be able to benefit from all the faculty that are gathered there, as well as the students from time to time as well, and other resources available through the seminary. And some examples of that on some of the programs that I'm involved with right here on His Time on Monday mornings. We talk with Dr. Bob Weiss.
Yep.
From Concordia Seminary, and he always has some wisdom to share with us when it comes to Christian ethics and bioethics. He always has a great topic for us to talk about each Monday morning for a few minutes, and always making us think about how we perceive the world around us and so many things that matters of ethics, and what does God's Word have to say? What does it bring to bear on those topics?
Yeah. Well, just on that topic, there's so many important challenges that we're faced with here in the 21st century that need some clear, but also in some cases, some fresh thinking. And to be part of that process and helping God's people think these things through is very much the role of our sort of theological faculty. But as you well know, KFUO and Concordia Seminary have had a long-standing history. In fact, going back as we celebrate 90 years of ministry at KFUO, those early years were almost indistinguishable, I would suspect, between the origins in the leadership of the faculty of the seminary, especially Walter A. Meyer. And back, I mean, there are those who know this history way better than I. But the fact is that was at the very beginning a real partnership between the origins of KFUO and Concordia Seminary.
Sure, yeah. The station began in what I believe was the seminary top floor of the attic,
yeah,
if I remember
sort of,
correctly.
Yeah, you know, in somebody's back office, so to speak. And it was up in an attic, and away we went. And I kind of applaud that zeal and energy. There were opportunities, and a few people saw it, rolled up their sleeves, and said, "Let's do something." I'm always a fan of doing something. Not willy-nilly or without some sense of planning and realism. But too often we analyze things to the point of never getting around to actually doing anything. So doing something is better than doing nothing. And they just kind of got going, and here we are 90 years later with a long and storied history.
And over the time, you know, through those 90 years, telling the gospel.
Well, exactly. It was grounded in. In fact, do you know? I was. This has been part of your sort of anniversary ads and stuff on that. The KFUO, the call letters for what does that stand for? Forward, upward, onward. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control the K west of the Mississippi. If I know that right, but the FUO, was that assigned to us, and they figured out that they could use those letters to as the acronym for forward, upward, onward, or did they get forward, upward, onward and made that the call letters?
As I understand it, those were the letters assigned to us by
that's
the
what
government.
I don't think you get to pick your own call letters.
It's
kind of a chicken and egg question.
Yeah, at that time, I don't know if it was possible to choose the call letters or not. But some of the early folks saw that as an opportunity to emphasize what we're about, keeping forward, upward, and onward.
Yeah. It served well, hasn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's what we're all about. Now, talking about going back to the partnership between KFUO and Concordia Seminary, as you said, as we were talking, the station began in the, like you said, the back office and the attic of the one of the early seminary campuses here in St. Louis. And then the seminary moved over to Clayton, and also KFUO moved to the Clayton area for many years in the building there.
KFUO studio building there right on the seminary campus is really a historic building, quite a landmark, and again has served well for many, many years. And it's only been in, what, the last 2 years? When did you officially move headquarters sort of over to the International Center? Was it just 2 years ago?
June of 2013.
Well, okay. Within the last couple of years. And in a sense, that was probably the right thing to do. I mean, I don't know, and others can speak better on all the business and building upkeep decisions of all of that. But the fact is that having that studio right on the campus brought a presence of the radio station to the campus, and it also brought the resources of the campus to the radio station. I know many students years ago, even more so. That was kind of their student job. They worked at KFUO. There were students who served as announcers, and we still do that to some degree, or still did when the studio was on our campus. But that was a wonderful relationship, not just with the expertise of the theological faculty and using KFUO as a way of bringing some of those resources beyond the campus to the whole world, but also in providing that opportunity for students to get some experience and to realize the power of radio, which still is powerful even in today's world of way more extraordinary media. Here we still go, broadcasting good radio, but we're on the internet and doing all sorts of using all the other technology that's available to us today. So those are sort of insights that our students need to get when they think of the vast spectrum of how God has provided gifts, shall we say, media gifts, to communicate his gospel and his word throughout the world into the 21st century and beyond.
Sure. Amplitude modulation. It's a good first article gift, right?
That's very good. Got to remember that. Yeah, good first article gift. Yeah, we like first article gifts, especially when they're serving the second article.
Exactly. Exactly. Using, you know, our AM signal, AM 850 here in St. Louis, and our streaming, live streaming on the internet to serve that, as we said, that second article, to bring that good news of Jesus, not just to St. Louis folks. We are grateful for our St. Louis audience and glad to have been proclaiming the good news to the St. Louis audience here for 90 years, but also more recently, including a worldwide audience and not just an audience, but partners, you know, folks to partner with us in telling this good news.
Well, it's extraordinary, and let's bring in the third article as well. That kind of brings us full circle back to our little Bible class at Christ Memorial, where God's people are gathered together every Sunday, and the opportunities that provides in terms of that little partnership. When we began that, and I was afraid you were going to ask me when we started that, and I wish I would have researched this better, because it's a little fuzzy. It goes back into the early 90s, I think. This has been just kind of chugging along for, could be 20 years. We started pretty small. I don't remember. I think that KFUO has had sort of a Sunday morning Bible class. Dale Meyer used to do that when he was over in Collinsville, I believe, at Holy Cross at Collinsville. And they were kind of looking in transition for another Bible class, and my name came up, or Christ Memorial came up, and there were some conversations. And it was interesting because I knew there were some people that were real nervous that, oh dear, a SEMPROF is going to do nothing but sort of spout off about Greek and Hebrew and these big long words in Latin and everything else. But I've enjoyed teaching Bible class for many years. In fact, I've been teaching at Christ Memorial since the early 80s. And we made kind of a conscious decision that this was a Bible class that was on the radio, not a radio Bible class, if you understand kind of that distinction.
Sure.
In other words, it wasn't really geared toward being a radio show. And I think we've still maintained sort of that basic understanding that we're gathered together as God's people, and we have a good solid group of people, sometimes 30 to 50, sometimes 50 to 80 in a room, and we get together on Sunday morning to have our Bible class, and we're thrilled to share that with our KFUO listeners, just as they have the opportunity to kind of listen in and learn from what we're talking about. We take special care to include them as many ways we can, but it is a wonderful ministry to know that what we're doing there is going out to who knows how many people. If there's anything just kind of frustrating, well, I shouldn't say that because that sounds too negative, but it's just sort of interesting and intriguing with something like a radio, is you really don't know who's listening or how many people are listening. You guys at the station probably get some response and do some demographic studies and all that. My understanding is that Sunday morning is still one of the most listened to parts, in large part because of people who can't get to church and Bible class and who use that as a real opportunity to sort of substitute. It's not quite the same as being there.
Sure.
But at least they can participate in some way in worship and in Bible class. And I get a lot of comments from people around town, and every once in a while an email from somebody from who knows where. It could be literally anywhere in the world, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Who say, we listen to you on Sunday morning. A lot of that are just sort of friends who say, yeah, we heard you on Sunday morning. And what it means is they were listening while they were driving to church or coming home and listened in for 10 minutes and caught something and wanted to tease me about it or something. once in a while we'll get a letter, and we've even received some support through Christ Memorial, and I suspect directly to KFUO for what aren't extraordinary costs, but at least some costs to actually doing that every week. Or just a nice note that says, you know, we really appreciate this, or I've been shut in for years and this is something that really helps my week because it helps my Sunday morning. And it's just wonderful to kind of hear those testimonies from people who are really touched by God's word in that way.
It is. It connects us in, as you said, it connects the person that especially the shut-in, who might not be able to get out on a regular basis to connect with the rest of the body of Christ, to connect mm-hmm. with a congregation. It gives them an opportunity to connect and to hear, to study God's word. What I appreciate about the Bible study is you can hear questions too being asked by the participants in the Bible study from time
to
time.
We try to remember that people are listening to this on the radio. It's a little awkward. So we actually have a sort of a hand mic that we have a dedicated member of the class who's kind of our runner, and if somebody raises their hand, he runs over there with a microphone, and there's a little delay, or I try to rephrase the question, and sometimes I know that gets garbled, but by and large, it works pretty well, and it's a good group. One thing we've liked to feature, and again, that's another advantage of being in St. Louis, is we get a fair amount of visitors from, I'm not talking necessarily about visitors that come into your church, but international visitors. Mm-hmm. For example, Amos Bolay has been in town now for some time. He's the president of Lutheran Church of Liberia, one of our sort of longstanding partners in Africa, but only a more recent full partner church in West Africa. And he's working on his doctoral program at Concordia Seminary, so comes into town, you know, regularly, once or twice a year, and has been here now for some time, in large part because of the Ebola situation, where travel back and forth has become somewhat risky and restricted. But there's just one example of somebody who, I know he goes around to different churches, and is good to do that, but he's been in our Bible class pretty regularly. Well, that's a wonderful opportunity. Even sometimes we'll just let Amos stand up and give us 5 minutes on what's news in West Africa, or what the challenges are from his perspective to 21st century mission around the world, especially in Africa. And sometimes he'll just be in the class and offer a comment or a thought just like anyone else, and you just have these interesting situations where you can tap into some of the resources that we have here as Lutherans in St. Louis.
Isn't it interesting how we have changed, how the world has changed, really, since 1924. Just as you were pointing out that, you know, that Pastor Bolay, President Bolay, is able to come here a couple of times each year and to continue his studies for his doctorate. And but for us to be able to connect to listeners around the world today as well, how does that serve the church? How does that impact or affect the church, do you think, from your perspective?
Well, certainly, I mean, we hear a lot about globalization simply mm-hmm. because it's part of our culture, and it's very real. I think that the way we look at missions over the past half of a generation has changed substantially, and in a very, very good and wholesome way. Certainly, the connectivity, I suppose, electronically, technologically, of our current age brings us all closer, and that's true in so many ways, from world politics to economics, but also in terms of the church. So our awareness of what's going on in other countries and other parts of the world is just so what more wide open than it's ever been before. And it reminds us, this is very wholesome, it reminds us that, first of all, we're not the only Christians in town.
Not
only are Lutherans the only Christians in the world, but the Missouri Synod or the North American Lutheran churches are not the only game in town. It also reminds us that missions is always two-way. I think an older colonialistic-based model was that we sent missionaries all over the world. Well, what's exciting, that had its time and place. But what's exciting today is that the seeds of what have been sown for by those who went forth and sometimes under extraordinarily difficult circumstances with little support, just going out and learning language and culture and trying to build the bridges and, you know, waiting years and years for even one convert, so to speak, many of those seeds are bearing fruit, and now we have Lutheran churches in many ways thoroughly indigenous Lutheran churches growing up from the soil of their own cultures in their own countries. And they now are really partners with us. In fact, over the past generation, we really changed that nomenclature from like daughter churches to sister churches to partner churches to recognize those relationships. And I think, as we all know, many of those churches are sending missionaries to the United States now. Some of them come simply as immigrants, mm-hmm. With a zeal for the gospel and an anxious eagerness to connect to other Christians, particularly other Lutherans. We've got just an exploding energy in our church from these immigrant populations in terms of their evangelistic zeal and what it means to be part of the body of Christ, first among themselves. That's very typical that you kind of find those who speak the same language. But they're a tremendous catalyst even within our own church body. The fastest growing segment of our church body are the non-Anglo ethnic immigrants. Sometimes they actually send missionaries over because they see America as a mission field. Well, hello. In the 90s, our mission statements of there was this thing called the Blueprint of Mission for the 90s, and they very deliberately declared North America a mission field, even internally, that we see the mission field as our neighbors next door, so to speak. We have these opportunities both domestically and internationally, so that the bottom line here, and I'm rambling on about this, but this is a very exciting dynamic, I think, that's changed a lot of the way we think about missions today, is that the distinction between domestic and international is a very, very fuzzy, blurry line. We're all working together in seeing mission as both to the person next door as well as to people around the world. But it's all kind of working together with our partners around the world also engaged in the same witness to Christ's work in the world and his gifts of life and salvation for all people.
Amen and amen. I feel like we just had Bible study.
Well, I don't know about it. We didn't have a text. I think one of the, you know, if you ask me what are the challenges of seminary education for the next generation, mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of a subset of the challenges of being the body of Christ in the next generation. It really is a lot to do with this changing cultural context and milieu, one that's increasingly hostile, if not neutral, if not hostile to Christianity. The game has changed substantially, where we don't have sort of the left-hand kingdom supporting us, at least indirectly, by basically affirming Christian values in some ways, or the assumption that being a Christian or even being a spiritual church-going person or a member of some spiritual community is a good thing. So we have a lot more working against us today. But with it, just these burgeoning opportunities to use the gifts God has given us in the globalized world of technology and international understandings to be really engaged in 21st century mission, I just find that extraordinary and exciting. It's really a great time to be alive as a member of the body of Christ and connect the past with the present to the future. and the future looks pretty exciting. Until Christ comes again, there's a little Advent motif.
There you have it.
Before we run out of time, well, it's still Advent, right?
You're right. We are just about out of time, just a few seconds left, but you gave me a great idea. Maybe we just need to start having seminary on the radio. We just need to start offering seminary courses on the radio.
Well,
we could do that night
our
school.
Our little iTunes U site.
There you go.
If you go to our website, csl.edu, you can find all of that. We've got a lot of stuff up there, including my elementary Hebrew course. Again, even to that, I'll get an email every now and then from somebody literally anywhere in the world that says, I found this kind of interesting. You know, I don't understand what you mean here. It's just a fun time to be engaged in giving witness to what God's Word is telling us.
Well, thank you for your partnership. Dr. Andy Bartelt, professor of exegetical theology at Concordia Seminary and Bible study host here on Sunday mornings. Thanks so much for being our guest today,
Andy,
on Faith and Family.
Thanks for all you do, and God's blessings on the next 90 years of KFUO. Glad to be part of it.
Thank you. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.